Hey, hey, and welcome to the second episode of the Frugalpreneur Podcast. I'm your hostess, Shannon, and today we're going to be featuring an interview with Corbett Barr, the creator of ThinkTraffic.net, Expert Enough, and CorbettBarr.com. Now, funny story, I actually recorded this interview with Corbett before I ever got to recording the first episode of the podcast. So you might be able to tell I was totally nervous and stupid excited to be on the phone with Corbett, so forgive my little fangirlness. But besides that, this interview is chock full of great insights on what it's like to be an entrepreneur and how to create meaningful work that monetizes your passion and creates value for others. So get ready. Hello, everyone. I have Corbett Barr on the phone with us right now, and I'm so excited to speak with him. He is the creator of ThinkTraffic.net, CorbettBarr.com, and ExpertEnough.com. So, hi, Corbett. Welcome to the call.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on, Shannon.
Wonderful. Well, we're so happy to have you here for the first podcast of The Frugalpreneur. And before we get started, could you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and what you did before you came to blogging and became what I would call a blogging guru?
Yeah, sure. I'd be happy to. Basically, currently, I run a small network of blogs. I guess you could call it a publishing platform. And I've been doing that for the past couple of years. But before I was a blogger, I actually worked for about 10 years in the corporate world, doing various things that I try very hard to forget about. And also, I ran a Silicon Valley venture-backed startup for a few years. But I never really found connection with that work that I did. I never found fulfillment. I never thought that people were really all that interested in the work they were doing, and I sort of felt the same way. So instead of jumping from one job to the next, when I found myself sort of at a crossroads, I decided in early 2009, to take a six-month road trip sabbatical to Mexico. And the purpose was really just to take a step back and sort of evaluate my life, what I wanted from my work, my career, and how I wanted that to integrate with my life. And while we were down here, something really incredible happened. We met a bunch of people who weren't rich or retired, but somehow had figured out ways to make their career work around their lives instead of the other way around. And they'd figured out ways to travel the world or live in another country for months at a time. And this really sort of went against everything that I knew about work. I thought that either you worked in a corporate environment for your whole life, hoping to take a few weeks of vacation a year and maybe retire a little bit early, or maybe you were an entrepreneur and you really put in as many hours as possible and swung for the fences and tried to get wealthy. So these people that we met were sort of trying to live as if they were retired, even though they weren't. And they also found careers that they enjoyed. And so I started a blog in 2009 basically to chronicle that trip we were on and also to help me think through those issues of career and life. And starting that blog in 2009, you know, I know it might sound cliche, but it really changed my life. I've been on a completely different path ever since. And I ended up building this mini publishing empire that I mentioned before, which now supports me entirely through courses and other online products that I sell, essentially. And that enables my wife and I to travel quite a bit. We have returned to Mexico every winter for the past 4 years. And actually, I'm talking to you now from Mexico. And then in the summers, we typically travel as well. We went to Europe for a couple of months this past summer.
Very cool. I know that your story has been something that's been highly inspirational for me and many of my blogger friends that I've made in my about year of blogging now. And so it sounds like you were already having these ideas of transforming your life and your work, and your blog kind of reflected that exploration. Mm-hmm. Do you have any advice for people that are looking to make that transition, perhaps that they're stuck in a job now that they don't really find fulfilling, but they're not quite at that point yet where they're ready to transform their lives? Do you have any, you know, startup advice like that?
Yeah, I mean, a couple of things. The first is that I found that it was very difficult to understand what I really wanted from life when I was surrounded by the typical influences. So, you know, I tend to be sort of a sponge, and I like a lot of people, I think, tend to mimic or integrate with the environment that I'm in. And if you live in a city or the suburbs, like a lot of people do, you're surrounded by people who are working jobs that maybe they don't enjoy, and they're basically pursuing money and status, you know, as an ends. And it took the sabbatical for me to understand that that's not really what I was after in life. I wanted something deeper. I wanted to create meaning out of my life. I wanted to enjoy what I do. I realized that, you know, on average, people spend 40 or 50 hours a week at their jobs, and it's a shame to do something that you don't enjoy. So for people who are thinking about making a transition, the biggest thing is, you know, first maybe to take a step back, maybe take an extended vacation if you can or something to really reflect, but then also to focus on not just becoming self-employed because you think that the reason that you're unhappy is the fact that you work a job. I think it's more important to try to create meaning out of what you do and to really try to do something that matters. I see a lot of people struggle because they think that they can work online and, you know, quote, make money online and jump into creating, you know, all kinds of things that these internet marketers say is, you know, easy cash or whatever. And not only do most of them fail, but also even the ones that succeed, I think, end up being unhappy there as well, because cash isn't the answer to happiness, as they say. And so look for you know, what you really enjoy, what you're passionate about, and try to figure out how to create meaning out of your life and how to do something that matters.
Oh, that is some powerful stuff. No, I totally understand, because there's so much information out there when somebody's looking either to change their life completely or to have a side hustle with a blog or online business. So much content out there is just about marketing and social media, growing a network, and making money online, which is all well and good. But like you said, if there's not a passion behind it, you're not going to want to keep doing it, especially after the first 2 months when, you know, maybe you're making $3 with AdSense or, you know, a project you worked on for months completely flopped. You have to have the passion there. So,
right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Go ahead.
And so, you know, if somebody does know what their passion is and they're ready, you know, ready to make this transition, do you have any advice for people? Is there anything that you think somebody needs to have in place beyond passion if they're ready to make a transition or build either a side hustle or a full-time income working online?
Well, one of the things that comes to mind is to have some sort of a financial cushion, because, you know, I've been in the situation where I decided to work for myself, and usually in the beginning stages of starting a business, there isn't a whole lot of income coming in. Sometimes for a year or more, you won't have a whole lot of income coming in. So you have to decide if you're going to perhaps do your business on the side, create your business on the side, I guess a side hustle as you called it, or if you're going to go full time and jump into it with both feet. I was able to do that twice, actually. I started businesses where I wasn't earning income for a year or so, mostly because I had built up a financial cushion and I worked really hard in my corporate life to earn a decent income and to save as much of that as possible. And that savings really is what for me, was the first step to freedom. It was the ability to buy time and then to invest in growing myself and my own business. So that's one of the things that I think a lot of people don't think about. They hate their jobs so much that they just want out. But the fact is that if you're trying to build a business, your judgment can become very clouded if you don't have a financial cushion and you're just worried about how you're going to be feeding yourself from week to week.
Totally. I know that sometimes it's tempting to just throw in the towel at a job you hate and completely want to survive on your blogging income. But do you have any advice for somebody that does have that cushion and that's putting their all in and isn't really seeing a great return on investment? Do you have any input or ideas around how to work through the lulls and to know you're on the right path? I'm sure that the answer would vary so much from blog to blog, niche to niche. But, you know, everyone hits those lulls, especially in the first year of starting their own gig. That, do you know, like, did you ever have an indicator that you were on the right path?
No, I mean, I think, like most people, I questioned myself, you know, basically every day for the first year or so I was involved. I wrote a post recently about how starting a business isn't all unicorns and rainbows. It's not as easy as you might hope. And, there will be trying times. There will be days when you feel like quitting. There will be months where you feel like you poured your heart and soul into something and, nobody's paying attention. And we all have those roadblocks. We all run into these things. And the thing that determines whether or not you're going to be successful really is how you deal with those roadblocks. If you look at success stories, if you study people who have been successful, they all encountered things that could have made them quit, and yet they soldiered on. So, you know, I'm not an expert in terms of the dip, as they call it. Seth Godin wrote an entire book on this, but I do know that I tried a lot of things over the past 3 years that I've been blogging, and a lot of those things failed. In fact, probably 80 or 90% of those things failed, especially in the first year and a half or so. Because I loved what I was doing, because I believed in what I was doing, and because I had some great examples of people who had succeeded in a very similar way, I knew that it was possible. I just knew that there was some personal growth that had to happen for me, and that I had to grow as an entrepreneur. I had to grow as a blogger. I had to understand things and keep experimenting. And eventually, I came up with a formula that worked for me. So, you know, that's usually what I encourage people to do, is not necessarily to keep doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting different results. I think Einstein said that that's the definition of insanity. But instead, if you're not getting the results that you hope for, experiment. Try putting out different kinds of content. Try starting a new side project. Try connecting with different people. Try forming a mentorship group of some sort. Try all kinds of things to help you break through the plateaus and the dips that you might be encountering. And experimentation, for me, has been the key to success.
That is fascinating. I definitely would have to agree with that point, that experimentation, especially when it represents your own development of authenticity, is key to making survival happen during your first year out, or even your second year, depending on where you're at in your business. So I really think that that's key. Experimentation and being able to find what works for you personally, I think that's really solid advice for people that are starting out or even reevaluating where they're at. And so you mentioned starting groups and reaching out to other people and building networks, but was there anything that you remember encountering when you started out that you could attribute to some of your success, like your favorite books, your favorite blogs, any recommended resources?
Yeah, well, if you don't mind, you just mentioned something that I think bears drilling down into a little bit, which is the network and the relationships and the connections that you make if you're an entrepreneur or a blogger online. Those things are absolutely critical to your success, because if you think about the way that you attract an audience to your site, it's not as if visitors come out of thin air. They have to be encouraged to visit your site from some other place where they're already hanging out. So your job is really to figure out where the people who might be most interested in what you are talking about on your site or what you're offering, where they already hang out, and then somehow get in front of those people and bring them back to your own site. And one of the best ways you can do that is by meeting people who also operate sites online and doing things like we're doing right now, like interviews. If you make friends with people, it's more likely that they will eventually link to you or mention you in an article or something, or that you could do a group project together. And I think a lot of people start a blog and then they operate in a vacuum and they just hope that people are going to notice them. But what they don't realize is that in most cases, successful bloggers behind the scenes are having all kinds of conversations with other entrepreneurs and bloggers on a regular basis. Today, for example, on my calendar, I will be talking with five different other bloggers. I regularly, every day, at least talk with one, maybe two other bloggers. And I've met a lot of people over the past 3 years. And that is certainly one of the keys to my success, just getting out there and talking with people, partly sometimes just to commiserate with people and to swap war stories so that you feel like you're not alone. You feel like, you know, you're not a failure. It's just part of the process, the growing process. And also partly, as I said, so that you can, you know, connect for mutual benefit, so that you can do interviews and link to each other and do group projects and things like that.
For sure. I know that in my experience, going to conferences and even local blogger meetups of all stripes has been tremendously beneficial to me personally, but also for my blog. So it goes beyond metrics, but it's more of personal development and enrichment that comes along. Because like you said, it's so easy to be behind a laptop in a coffee shop somewhere, not talking to anybody, headphones on, focusing on drilling through your post that you have scheduled for the week without ever making those connections that I think add so much to your writing. And that was another thing I was going to bring up with you, was about getting out of that vacuum, getting out of the cubicle you've recreated for yourself. What do you do to make sure that you stoke the fires of creativity and make sure that you're not spending your entire life just as a blogger, but as a human being, and stoking the creative fires that will help your content? Do you have any insights on that?
Yeah, I mean, especially now, because I really love what I'm doing, I can tend to be a workaholic. If I don't have other things going on, I can definitely spend, you know, most of my days working. And so I try to get out and force myself to have social interactions, to have new experiences, to travel, and to set up my calendar with a number of things that are not going to be work-related, simply because the conversations that I have, the things that I experience, the activities that I do. For example, you know, we're here in Mexico, and I spend a decent amount of time surfing while we're down here. While we were in Europe last summer, we actually spent time in six different countries while we were there. And so we were on the move a bit. And those things sort of forced me to experience, you know, new things, and also not to be sitting in front of my desk and sort of pounding away. What I find about creativity is that I'm good for about one creative thing a day, or one, you know, piece of content that I can create a day. And beyond that, I end up sitting and not really accomplishing a whole lot, you know, just being unproductive. And I think that time is better spent, like you said, stoking the fires of creativity, having conversations with people, doing things that can take your mind off of work immediately. Because sometimes in those conversations or those moments of solitude, that's where you come up with the ideas that really become something for yourself.
Very true. And just to switch gears a little bit, you have an excellent site, which I absolutely love, and a coordinating podcast with Expert Enough. Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that you draw upon expertise of all kinds, because I think that might be one of the biggest hurdles that people have, is trusting themselves and their voice and developing their own sense of belonging, that they can talk about what they care about and be taken seriously.
Right.
So I think that Expert Enough is an excellent resource. And for anyone listening to this, you have to check out Expert Enough. It is phenomenal. I'll have links in the show notes. But do you have any insights on how people can develop and trust their own voice and their expertise? Because I'm sure you work a lot with experts that have done that successfully, but for people that are a bit shaky about it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the first piece of advice is not to think of expertise as an absolute. I think a lot of people feel like there are experts and then there are non-experts. But the truth is, if you look at it, expertise is relative. So, for example, you could think of expertise as a scale of 1 to 10. And the tens are the, you know, the world's greatest experts on a topic. But then all the way down the line, you go from 1 to 10, and maybe you're a 3 on that scale. So that doesn't mean you're the world's greatest expert, but think about what you might be able to offer to the ones and the twos in the world. Perhaps you can offer advice about getting started, because they're behind you and they don't understand those things. And maybe they can't learn from the world's greatest experts because they're just not using the same vocabulary. Or maybe you can bridge the gap. Maybe you can serve as a facilitator who connects the ones and twos of the world with all the great resources that are out there that you learned in order to get to your status as a level three. So think about expertise as being relative. The other thing is, we all have things that we're interested in, things that we feel especially passionate about, things that maybe sort of come naturally to us, things that you wake up thinking about, maybe things that you read about, even in your spare time. Those are great candidates for becoming an expert on those topics, because you have the natural motivation and the drive to pursue that. And realize that most people who are talking about issues like that will never spend more than a couple of days looking into an issue. And a lot of people will only rely on secondhand information. They won't even read the source information. So if you spend a month or 2 months really deep diving into a topic and reading about it, talking with people about it, writing about it, exploring your thoughts, paying attention to source material, studies that have been done, that might put you ahead of 90, 95, even 99% of other people in terms of your depth of knowledge in that particular area because you've dedicated the time to it. So becoming an expert is really about sitting down and spending the time and practicing deliberately to become better at your skill or to understand more about the topic that you're trying to learn.
Wonderful. I think that is totally key. And I think it just takes a lot of practice. It really does. As you said, just immerse yourself in the content. And one thing that I've encountered again is that people care about something and you can only get better at it by doing it. So you can spend 3 months in a book reading about karate or knitting socks or whatever you do, but it isn't until you start a dialogue about it and share your knowledge and know that the first couple things you say about it might not be the most groundbreaking, epic content you've ever, put out there or experienced, but that your voice does get stronger the more you learn and the more you kind of process the content and put it out there for other people and make it simple for people, especially you said at the different levels that you may not always have success reaching out to other people that are tens that totally understand or are at your level, but to somebody that just needs basic knowledge or somebody that's curious to learn more, there's different ways to reach out to different audiences. It's not just one homologous group that has to be, that can benefit from your content. So I think those are fabulous insights. And finally, I just wanted to bring up a little bit about the course that you're starting or that you have started, How to Start a Blog That Matters. I think it's a phenomenal resource. And would you like to talk more about this awesome program?
Sure. So basically, I've started three blogs myself now. I run those three blogs, and I've learned a lot about blogging from starting those blogs. Combined, they attract over 100,000 visitors per month. Also, over the years, I've helped a number of friends, a number of colleagues, and a number of customers actually start blogs themselves. And so through this deep one-on-one work with people, for example, Scott Dinsmore from Live Your Legend, last year I helped him build that blog, and now he's running a business around it. He's attracted over 10,000 subscribers to that blog, and it's been a big success. And he and I worked hand in hand for about 6 months, very intensely, talking every week, coming up with the strategy, developing that blog. And through the work I did with him and a number of other people, I've sort of developed a framework that I use when I help people start a new blog that really gets them off, to hit the ground running and to build their blog up into something that actually matters. Because there are millions of blogs out there, hundreds of millions of blogs out there, and there are thousands of new blogs started every day. And if you think about it, only a small portion of those ever become recognized, never become popular. Most of them pretty much go unnoticed. But this framework that I've developed, I've used a number of times and I've seen it work a number of times, and I realized that a lot of people would love to learn from this framework but don't necessarily have the time to work with me one-on-one, and I frankly can't help that many people one-on-one as well. So I took the framework that I had used and recorded about 8 hours of video about that framework. I laid it out into 13 weekly lessons that people can follow that gets them from no blogging experience at all to launching a blog, to making relationships with other bloggers, to coming up with a great topic for them, learning how to create shareable content, and just everything that I would have wanted to know over the first 90 days of being a blogger, the things that really can help you stand out, make a name for yourself, and just gain some momentum that otherwise might take you, you know, a year and a half or more to learn on your own. And frankly, a lot of people don't have that kind of stamina, even though they might have a good shot at being successful if they don't learn from other people who have done something like blogging. Then, you know, maybe you're not going to stick with it for the year and a half or 2 years that it would take to learn all of that stuff. So hopefully over the course of 3 months, when I walk you through this process, if you do the lessons and the action items that we recommend, then that will get you over that hump and you'll get a taste of success, and then you'll be able to build on that and create something that matters. And to me, something that matters doesn't necessarily mean building a business. It could be, if that's your goal, but also it could be just exploring your creativity. It could be, you know, becoming recognized as an expert on a particular topic. It could be trying to land your dream job, to get a writing deal, or just to make a difference in the world and to help people see things in a different way, to start a movement, to change the world in the way that you see fit. So that's the purpose of the course. It's called How to Start a Blog That Matters.
Okay, perfect. And that's located at startablogthatmatters.com, and I'll have the link in the show notes so our listeners can get a hold of that. And a quick question, is that like guided, or can people start that at any time that's convenient for them?
They can start it at any time. Essentially, it's laid out, as I said, over the course of 90 days. There are 13 weekly lessons. And when you sign up, we'll send you a weekly reminder email explaining what you should be working on and going into the lesson. But if you need to take more or less time than that, you can do that. And if you need to wait a couple of weeks to get started or whatever, it's self-guided, essentially. So you can start any time.
Oh, perfect. Because I think that would be great for people that are blogging right now as like a side hustle, or doing it for a hobby or part-time, that don't necessarily have a set block of time each and every day to sit down and work through a course. So the flexibility is really great. Either starting or completion is really cool. So I will be posting that on the blog and in the show notes. I think it's a great resource, because in my year of blogging, I've seen so many courses that seek to do what you're trying to do and what you're able to do and don't quite hit the mark. But I have heard nothing but good things about your course, and I've also read your various works, and I think that this is going to be a great value for people. So anyway, I think that about wraps it up. Was there anything else you wanted to say, or should I be done interviewing you at this point?
No, I just wanted to say congratulations on doing your first interview. I am trying to think back to my first interview. I remember being fairly nervous and not exactly getting all the questions out that I wanted to, but I think you did a great job, and I'm happy to be your first guest.
Oh, well, thank you. Just know I'm trying to lead by example. I have so many bloggers, you know, that I read regularly like you, and I knew that if I really wanted to help other bloggers and entrepreneurs take the next step and to reach out and build what they really care about, which mine is helping other people do what they love, which is similar to your message and exactly why I wanted you on this podcast, I knew that I would never be able to write about it if I didn't do things that kind of intimidated me. And podcasting is definitely out of my comfort zone. So anyone listening to this first podcast, know that I appreciate your patience. And Corbett, I am so happy to have you on this today. And if there's anything you ever need, you let me know. And I will share it with my readers, because they can greatly benefit from your message and the fact that you serve others so authentically. And you've been a great help to me personally. So thank you so much for being my first guest.
Thank you so much, Shannon, for having me on, and I wish you the best of luck with your projects.
All right. Thanks, Corbett.
All right. So I hope you enjoyed that interview with Corbett as much as I did. If you want to see more of what he has to offer and what he's all about, be sure to check out some of his sites like expertenough.com or listen to his podcast on iTunes. Also, if you want more information about his course, head on over to startablogthatmatters.com, or you can click the affiliate link in my sidebar, but I will also have it linked in the show notes. So, again, thanks for tuning in for the second episode of the Frugalpreneur podcast, and we'll see you back here for episode 3. Thanks.